Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is going to help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests on the show are going to provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. And our guests work in various professions and are at different stages of their career. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download any one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website. It says Channel 1. We've got a Channel 1 and a Channel 2. We're on Channel 1. Scroll down, look for the graphic of our show that says Question Reality, and click that link. And what that does is it takes you directly to our archive page. And the archive page is where that's where you have you can view a list of the past guests, and you can see you can also play the link. You can play or download it, right? It's kind of to the right. So it's the date the show was on, then it's the guest description, and then to the right there's a play instantly or a download button. So you can do whatever you want. Now you can also download our free app for your Android or your iPhone, and you can listen to any of the other exciting shows. And it's just really easy to do. You just download the app right on the home page. You kind of got to scroll down towards the bottom of the page, the latalkradio.com homepage, but that's where the app is, down towards the bottom. And they have lots of cool shows. I mean, they've got I believe there is a psychiatrist or psychologist on there. I think it's Dr. Michelle. She's fantastic. You don't even have to pay to go to a psychiatrist if you're a little wacko. You just listen to her show, and she'll fix you right up. Right? Check her out. Lots of exciting shows. Guitar shows. Oh my goodness, so many. You can learn how to do just about anything on the shows, and they're very exciting and informative. So check them out on latalkradio.com. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section, and we're also on Stitcher.com. So just go there and type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and all of our shows will be there. We've been on the air since 2008, so there's lots of different professions on there, no matter if it's a behind-the-scenes job. We have people who are script supervisors. You want to be a script supervisor. You want to be a set designer. You want to be a celebrity reality television star? We've got those for you. We got producers, directors, models, musicians, you name it. We've got Oscar winners. We've got Emmy winners. We've got Tony winners. We've got, you name it, it's on there. So we've covered everything. So listen to these people to get the best advice on how to pursue a career. So there you go. Question Reality Radio Show. Oh, I forgot. If you want to find out about our future guests, so if you go to latalkradio.com, that is the past guests. Those are all the guests that have been on. But if you want to find out who's going to be on in the future, you have to go to the official Question Reality website. And that address is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. And we're always booked 6 months to a year in advance. So if you want to come on the show and you work professionally in the entertainment industry, just go to questionrealityradioshow.com and click the contact page and just tell us that you want to come on the show and put your website address and all of your social media pages, and we will hopefully get you on the show, or you can recommend someone. So that's fantastic. Now, we, as always, have a super duper cool fantastico. I make up words, as you well know. Fantastico is the new word of the day. Guest on the show today. Very exciting. Her name is Jennifer B. White. And Jennifer, I'm going to give you her website right now. She is a producer, a writer, a director, a novelist. And for the very first time, I must say, I've never had this particular type of person who does this job on the show, so I'm very excited. She is a former tagline writer for Universal Pictures. Ah, yes, there is a position as a tagline writer. I love it. How excited. I'm just too excited to hear what that job entails. So let's go and check her out now. Her main website is Jennifer B as in boy, White. .com, JenniferBWhite.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at Naked Hollywood. Uh-oh, we got to ask her where she came up with that name. I love it. Naked Hollywood on Twitter. I don't have her Facebook address, but we'll find that out. You can also check out her latest film, which is MaryLossOfSoul.com. MaryLossOfSoul.com. So pull those up so that you can find out more about Jennifer. Now, just a little bit. Jennifer, as I said, she's a movie producer, writer, a director, former tagline writer for Universal. Her latest project is entitled Mary Loss of Soul. And this is a supernatural themed feature. And it's starring Jose Zuniga of Twilight, Kaylee Bryant, and Nick Mancuso from Under Siege. And it's her directorial debut, so that is very exciting, and it will be coming out in theaters around March, so it's perfect timing for her to be on the show, and that is from Shoreline Entertainment and Oak Ivy Productions. So let's just, Jennifer, what is going on? This must be so exciting for you. Welcome to the show, first of all.
I love it. I love your energy. I'm just so happy to be on your show. This is great. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you. My God. Well,
I love it. I love it.
Oh, my God. And just think, this is without drugs or alcohol. Imagine. I need to be institutionalized. I need to be institutionalized if I ever take drugs and alcohol. Speaking of which, you know what I forgot to talk about, Jennifer? I just wanted to get this in, and hopefully you can relate to this. Albert, my husband and I, we kept hearing about American Horror Story, right? Oh my God, you got to see American Horror Story.
Yeah.
So we came in watching it the third season, which was the one where they were down in New Orleans dealing with the voodoo.
Right.
And so I fell in love with it. Talk about supernatural themes. That's why I'm bringing it up. Oh my God, we lost our minds over this show, right? So finally, we said we got to catch up because we hadn't seen season one and season two. So we went on this marathon of watching.
Binge watching. Yes. That's right. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Now, do you watch the show? Do you watch it? Do you like it?
I binge watch different things. I think I'm all caught up with Walking Dead, you know. So, yes, I eat what I write, you know.
Well,
so,
it
you know, so I do binge. I binge watch all like the crazy, you know. Yes, I do. So, and I love the way that American Horror Story has treated their original scripted series, in that they have four different, you know, unique places and the same people coming back as different characters. And now, it's, of course, I don't know if you know this, but the next season will be that somehow they all tie in together, and I find that like as a writer, just really fabulously interesting. Somehow we don't know how they're all going to connect. And that's fascinating.
You know what I did? Only watch season 1, 2, and 3, and unfortunately, I forgot to start recording the last one, which was the circus one. So I said, "Damn, I'll just wait for it to come on Netflix." But I was bummed out because I had heard that Jessica Lange might not come back. But I don't like to look up too much information. I just like to
I know. Why do that to yourself when it's so much more fun to just, well, you know, you love whatever it is they're serving up, whatever, you know, on any one of the, you know, places that you can get content. So whether it's a, you know, a series of movies or TV shows, you know you love it, just go for it and watch it, because, you know. I read a lot and know a lot, you know, because that's my industry. So, I love it. I read about it and I can, you know, just keep up on it because that's what it, you know, I not only love doing it, but I should be doing it. So that's why I know what it, you know.
Yes. So, well, I tell you, just that Jessica Lange, Lord have mercy, that woman. I love her. You know, here's the weird thing, Jen, before we get into talking about, before we make it all about Jennifer B. White, I think it's the props.
It turns into Jennifer B. White show, right?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, I tell you, I love, as you said, I cannot get over the whole concept of using some of the same actors to go from one season to that. That's like a dream job for an actor to be able to play different characters, but it all be.
Yeah, totally.
But you know, the weird thing is that I don't know what happened, but I had only seen Jessica Lange in the King Kong movie. And then all of a sudden I saw her in American Horror Story. I don't know what happened.
Well, I've been keeping up. See, of course, like in my industry, this is what we do. We keep up with talent. We keep up with directors. We keep up with producers. But so she didn't drop off the face of the earth. She was in so many other things. It's just that this has elevated her. And this is what's interesting about TV lately is that, you know, 5-6 years ago, it was not the same as even like, you know, if we go back to, you know, must-see TV Thursday night. Now it's just completely different. You're getting content on Amazon and iTunes and Netflix and on your premium cable channels. And it's all this really great writing and great, you know, so she's appeared here. She is on American Horror Story, and it's elevated her career to such a magnitude that it used to be the rule of thumb for movies is that do not put a TV person in a movie, because they're stuck in TV, and you associate them with whatever it is, Grey's Anatomy or whatever those TV shows are, which is wonderful shows, but you wouldn't put them in a movie. Now they're going, the movie stars are going into TV, and it's better, great hours, great
and theater,
pay, you know,
and theater. They're just doing everything. They're just cross. Cross promoting theater actors and television actors.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I love it. You never know where the hell, you know, a perfect example, not to, you know, and this is the last thing I'm going to talk about American Horror Story, but another example, what you're just saying is that, I started watching, and this happens to me a lot, and I'm like, oh my God, I've been around a while, and I'm telling you, I am I am a movie and television fanatic, so I start watching this show called Nashville, and I see this actress, Britton, and I'm like, actually, I'm looking
She's
at
great.
All of them.
Friday Night Lights, right?
But you know what? I don't watch that show. I was looking at her going, where the hell did these actors come from? They can sing, they can act. I'm like, these people, I had never seen them before, and I'm like, where have they been? So then I start watching the first season of American Horror Story, and I see Connie Britton. I'm like, so that's where she got.
And now, great, isn't it?
Because it's like I see all these actors, and they've got these principal, like, lead roles, and I'm like, I've never seen them before. But then once you see them on prime time, they're not going to get cast being the principal actor of a primetime show if they haven't, you know, been working on their career and appeared in things. But I tell you, some of them, never, I've never seen them before.
Sometimes there's look at the cast of Walking Dead. You really, as a layperson, really, just as a layperson, if you're sitting back and you go, well, here I am. I'm going to check this out. Everybody's been talking about it. I'm going to start in season one. You start to watch and you say, where the heck, who are these people? I've never seen any one of them. Stellar acting. As a writer director, I mean, I think that, you know, it used to be that, you know, we'd have to tap like A-listers or, you know, just to make things fly, you know, in your movie or whatever you're working on. And now you realize that there's a place for people who have, you know, no real sort of background, maybe shorts or maybe small things here. There were soap operas in back in the day or something. And then, you know, but they're great. And now they can be given chances to, like, you know, be these great actors and actresses that are, you know, amazing television shows or movies. And I'm all for that. I'm all for
elevating. Yeah. But, you know, what we don't realize is that once I saw Connie Britton and I was blown away by this woman, I'm like, oh my God. So then I'm prompted to go to IMDb to look up her credits. That's normally what we do. And then I go, oh my God, I saw that, but I didn't. Right. I don't remember her.
Smaller things, right?
Yeah, but she's been,
but
they have been working on their careers in the background and building up their resumes.
You know, a director, especially with the indie world, it's like Ethan Hawke has put his, you know, and now everybody knows Ethan Hawke, and Boyhood is going up for Oscar, and it will likely win. I'm just going to predict it, you know, it's going to win. So here we have Ethan Hawke, who has been doing nothing really but indies for years now. And it really, if you think about his career path, it's been, he's a phenomenal actor, and he's just, but he really had, he was very brave doing it because everybody's like studio. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to take these really great, interesting, intriguing roles. And he did it, and it paid off. It paid off huge for him. So now he's an A-lister, bona fide A-lister, right up there with all the Brad Pitts of the world and everything.
Absolutely.
And it's just the independent world to do it for him. So
that is exciting, too. That's exciting because this show is all about motivating and inspiring people, and most of the people to start out doing your shorts and independents. So let's get into the questions about, now, little Jennifer B. White, what did you
I am so little, too. I'm like vertically challenged, 1'5"2".
What did you see yourself being or doing when you grew up? When you were a little tiny girl, did you see yourself being?
You know, it's funny. Okay, so my mother was a writer, and she was an editor, and I never saw myself as being that, really, because like she was stunned sort of when I became the writer of the family. But I used to do things that were very much like a storyteller, so this is going to sound really funny, but or strange or whatever, but we're just going to go with it, darling. But I used to tell stories all the time, since I was really little, to neighborhood kids, and we would go out, and I had woods. Oh, we had like 3 acres of woods surrounding my house, and we would go out into the woods, and I would tell all these little tales. I would make them up on the fly to all my neighborhood friends and scare the crap out of them.
Oh, my God!
And like, you know, so, you know, every week it'd be like, you know, what's the new story or continuation of whatever story, you know, Jennifer's talking about right out in the woods. And, you know, the more screams I got, the better, you know, geez, I got a rise out of them. That was great for me. But when you think about it, that's the beginning of storytelling. It's like, you know, folktales when you're telling stories. Or even when you're like, you know, playing with stuffed animals with your, you know, with your kids and you're just making up stories as you go. These are all the beginning seeds of stories. So it started for me being very young. And I, at 11, the age of 11, that's when I wrote my, I wrote my first novel in full on my mother's like Selectra, you know, like little electric typewriter. Yeah, it was horrible. I mean, because you know, white out, and you can't like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
God, white. I love my laptop. White
people are like, what's white out?
Yeah.
What's a typewriter?
Well, right, me, huh? That's how it started for me. I never thought, you know, Hollywood wasn't a thing because back then, you know, that was, it just seemed like such a lofty thing. where it's so much more open for people now. They understand. It's so it's such a smaller access to doing film and TV even. But back then, that was the beginning for me. So yeah, I didn't think about myself as being a filmmaker per se, or even in Hollywood. It was just more like, how do I tell a story? Because for me, that was the thrill. Any way I could tell it, any way I could do that, I wanted to do that. And for me, I started doing it by writing or verbally doing it. And then I was in theater for a while. I was an actor, of course. I heard he's an actor at some point, so I did community theater. So yeah, I mean, anything to express yourself and tell a story, and you know, that was the beginning for me.
Well, that is so. People don't crush your child's visions if they're telling stories. Don't be thinking they're crazy and cart them off to the whack-a-mole bed. They are. They belong. Just think, they belong in entertainment. So leave them alone. Okay, so you work as a tagline writer for Universal Pictures. Now, I gotta ask, for those who don't know what a tagline writer is, please describe this super cool job and what did you do?
Oh, yeah. It's so funny because, like, I get asked that question a lot, and it seems like I'm always, like, caught off guard, like, what's a tagline? What do you mean? You see them all the time. It's just, like, this very, it's a sharp, concise slogan, or it's a catchphrase, and it's distinctly put together, like, so it's got to be memorable, and it usually sums up either a product or a service, or in my case, a movie. So it's a very quick way of saying, oh, I get it. And I mean, obviously, you're not going to get the whole thing, but you're going to get a taste of what's going to be. So, and what's funny is you see nowadays, the tagline is taking over the whole poster bigger than ever before. Like, Safe House, okay? It says, "No one is safe," is the tagline for that. And it's across the poster, and it's bigger than the actual title of the movie. So they're pretty important, actually, in sort of solidifying in somebody's mind what the movie is about. No one is safe. Or that, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, Mr. Grey will see you now, and it has, like, you know, the poster is, like, the back of him. It's like, these are, like, I mean, for me, like, it's stunning to see the tagline has taken over.
Yeah.
You know, it's distinctly telling what is this movie about better than the title can do. So that's what I did. And it takes a lot of work, because what people don't understand is, like, to do something like that, you have to really understand the movie. And if it comes with, like, I did Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is one of my favorite things. It was just it was a tour de force. But, it came with graphic novels. So I read every single one of the graphic novels. I watched the movie, which was before it was edited. So it was a 4-hour movie.
Woo!
4 hours. And I was sitting there watching this thing for 4 hours straight. And I still loved it. I loved every second of it. And it was with green screen, and they still had harnesses on. I saw Little Fockers that way too, with, Barbara Streisand talking on the phone, and she's talking to no one on the phone, because she's like, it's just her talking, and there's no sound. There's no anything. So you really have to understand the whole story before you can whittle it down literally to a couple of words. And that's it. And it's so, and so people think, well, it must be very easy. All you're doing is like, I can think of a few that make me kind of, okay, the 40-year-old virgin. The longer you wait, the harder it gets, right? That's right. Love that. The 40-year-old virgin, the longer you wait, the harder it gets. But that took a lot of work to do that. So, you know, you really have to get the movie, not just the gist of it, but really understand the whole thing. So
it's got to be a hook. I mean, it has to really, that's probably why the taglines are getting longer and longer, because you want to write something clever, something that's going to entice you to want to see the movie, because sometimes you want to keep a tight, I don't know, they're going crazy with some damn titles these days, like that Jim Carrey, Spotless Mind, Sunshine of the Spotless.
Oh, yes,
but it was like a whole paragraph for a title. So when you have those long titles, what could you possibly do for a have to
right.
Consume.
And sure. So it's important, like you go, wow, okay, you know, you see the title, it's a title treatment, we call it. And you see, and it's called the one sheet for us in the business. And it's, okay, so there's a visual, you know, you have some sort of graphic there, and you have the title of the movie, title treatment, and then the tagline pops up, and then you put it all together. And it has to be so fast that we always say it's like if a bus goes by, because a lot of times we have something on a bus.
Right.
It's 3 seconds, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, you just saw it. And a lot of times the tagline is what you saw. And you go, oh, well, and then you see the visual, and you go, I want to see that movie. And that's
yes.
all you want people to do. I want to see that movie. And,
yes.
so, and you know, I think it was Mark Twain who wrote it. I'm just thinking this now because it's so funny to write something so small and that would be so significant. And it's like, he said something like this, like, I would have written you a longer letter, but I didn't have time. A shorter letter, but I didn't have to have a shorter letter because it takes so much time to be concise and to be so succinct and to be so pithy that you have to whittle it down to just a log line is literally supposed to be just one sentence about your movie. And most people say this, I can't do it. I can't tell you in one sentence.
Right.
What my movie is about, because there's so many twists and turns and there's so much going on and there's so much, and you're like, yes, you can. And it's like, no, I can't. It's, yes, you can. You really can. And you can be taught how to do it. So for those of you who want to be like a marketing specialist, a tagline writer, you know, and you're going to have to do it anyway, even if you want to be a script writer, you still need to learn how to market your stuff and you still need to learn how to say it very quickly and succinctly so that people understand
where do you go to learn to write taglines and a tagline and a log.
I don't know. It's funny because my degree is in communication. So I learned how to be a communicator and a writer and so to do all of this stuff and to a marketeer and a public relations person and all these things sort of fed into what I was doing. And to write both, I call myself like a short distance, you know, writer and a long distance writer because to be
right.
all those things, you're doing this something very small and you're doing something very long, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, hey, you might want to have to, if you want to raise a couple bucks, you could do that on the side as a side
profession. Oh man, it's good money. It's great money because people can't do it. I can't do it. But you know what? I do have to say, because for your audience, for people who really want to know, can I do this? Yes, you can. Can it be learned? Absolutely. You have to just keep working at it. It's like anything. It's like a muscle. You just have to keep stretching yourself and pushing. And even like if you have to practice on somebody else's stuff, do it. Like watch a movie and say, let me write I watched that movie. I loved it. Let me write a log line for it. Let me write a tagline for it.
And then just write a bunch of them and then ask your friends what sounds best.
Right.
What's worse than
happens. Right.
What are some of the films that you worked on at Universal for taglines that we might know? Like some of the.
The Wolfman, Robin Hood. I told you about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I love that. Larry Crown. That was hard. That was very tough. Little Fockers.
You wrote the tagline for Little Fockers? What was that?
I can't remember because you passed in about 30 or something with title treatments. I can't remember what I said for that one. I worked on some of the Fast and Furious too, and I even did Riddick. So I did. Yeah, I mean that's like off the top of my head.
I love that movie. You did it.
Yeah,
it's all the Riddick Chronicles or
Riddick? No, just the most recent one. There were several, I think it was the third one was Riddick. And first, I can't even remember now what they were, but Vin Diesel, it's great. But I had the script and it was before they even went into production. So that's how early on I was on the project. So, that happens a lot.
So it's not like the way it would work is they say, okay, I'm working on just say film A, B, C, D, E. This is what we're going to be doing. Go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you really do have to be self, you know, reliant, because, you know, you're working with designers. So someone, you'll tap your design and you'll say, okay, because it really has to be organic with the design. So you talk to a designer and you say, like, with, I'll give you an example, because Scott Pilgrim was a great thing. We were a huge thing for me at Universal Pictures was to go to Comic-Con and see our dedicated space, which was this huge amount of space, and they had a band playing, and all my stuff was up there. Words, just huge, because I had this thing that was just, it started as a joke, because it's very, the conversation is very clipped, and it's funny, and it's very like, well, you know, whatever, and all that stuff, you know. And so so we had a big poster, and it was actually used in the New York Times and the LA Times, and they changed the verbiage, but it was, I worked with a designer, and I said, I have this idea. I just want to go crazy on, like, not a spoiler thing. This is not a spoiler. And we started that way with this ad. And it was just like, blah, 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 blah. It was beyond a tagline. It was something, it was a summary of the movie, and it was crazy. It was a crazy idea, and it worked so well. But I worked with a designer to make it very organic to what the movie was and what it was all about. And then we had it splashed all over Comic-Con. It was so fun.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Now, see, that's a job, people. So think about the tagline writer. So we're moving on now. That sounds like a great job. So I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people may not think about being a tagline writer, but if you have a degree in, I would think, advertising, communication, journalism.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything like that.
It's a position.
It's a good word, you know?
Yeah. And is it a situation where, say, when you worked at Universal Pictures, do you get hired as the sole tagline writer, or is there like a whole bunch of people, and they say there's a whole pool of people, and whoever comes up with the
a
best?
A lot of times there's a competition for it.
A competition.
So even when you're working for them, you put in, and sometimes there are what are called boutique studios that will say, okay, they'll bring in their stuff. You don't know what they have. You know what you have. So, you know, you bring in, you know, 30, work. Yeah, so it can be very competitive. But
So it's like swimming with the sharks. But, everybody's competing for the idea. Wow.
And okay. Here's a little something to know.
Yeah.
Your taglines, not like your work as a screenwriter, an author, or anything else, cannot be copywritten. You really can't. I mean, well, that's not true. A slogan can be trademarked. However, as a tagline writer, when you pass something in, let's say, and this happened to me, it's like your work can be just used someplace else, and there's nothing you can do about it. So let's just say another huge studio. You shouldn't want to be there.
What? You mean you can turn something in?
I took one of my taglines right on the heels of another movie and took it and put it up on their poster.
My God.
And there's nothing you can do about it. So it's a little, swimming with the sharks. But, you know, you get in there, it's okay, you know.
What are you going to do? You can just say, hey, that's fine, I did that. Now, what are you, because you wear so many different hats, being a producer, director, writer, as a writer and a director, which takes precedence when you're creating a movie script?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I love that question. That's good.
That's not mine. That's a Stephen Levine question. I got to give him credit.
Did
that.
He? Oh,
we haven't
okay.
even got to my questions.
Wow.
I've got like 27 questions for you, but
you
I'm
can ask me anything. I'm an open book. All right. Well, listen, I want to say this. When you're a writer director on a film, like as the same thing, a writer director, I think it's going to be much easier, because literally creating a script as a writer, you're seeing it and you're directing it at the same time. I mean, that's how I do it. I don't know how somebody else does it, because I'm not in their head, but you're seeing visually what, because it's a visual medium that you're working with. So you're writing to what you're seeing. And so when you get into directing, you want to see as close to what you visualize as possible. And we call it pre-vis. Our visualization in the industry. So even when you sit down with your director of photography and everybody else on your team, you sit down and you talk about what it is that you are visualizing for each scene. And, you know, maybe it's very sweeping and big, or very, sometimes it's very, you know, very minute, you know, it's like, this has to be, you know, like this, or this is what I'm looking for. Somebody else, because you're collaborating, somebody else may say, how about this? Or what do you think about that? But here's the rub. At the end of the day, a director is, that's why it's like the army. The very top of the pyramid is the director. So when you're on a movie set, they're looking at you, and you need to have every answer. It doesn't matter. You do have to have the answer. And when shit hits the fan, and it will. Okay, sorry, I said shit.
No, say it. You can say all kinds of four-letter words on this show. Go ahead.
Okay, good. But something will happen, and it will fly sideways. It's something. You never know what it's going to be. And I can name, like, you know, 20 off the top of my head that were significant things on my set. But rewriting something, and not just sitting down with your little computer and sitting at your desk where it's nice and cozy and you're like, you're in your pajamas with your slippies on. But I'm talking about 3 o'clock in the morning when you're knee deep in mud, literally, and everybody else is too. And you're all of a sudden something happened and you're like, I need a rewrite. And you're the person doing the rewrite. So you're like, give me a pen, or, you know, and then you rewrite it. And you're looking at your scripty. Now, that's a script supervisor. You mentioned something like that before. That's right. The person who says, let's keep continuity in this movie so that something, like someone's holding a cup, and then all of a sudden the cup's not there. That's the script supervisor making sure, like, no, they were holding a cup before. Let's not have that cup disappear when we have a movie. You need to keep continuity. So when you're rewriting something on the fly at 3 a.m. and you've had no sleep, it's very helpful to be the writer as well as the director, who can call the shots and rewrite it at the same time, because it has to be done.
Yeah,
and somebody has to do it. So
now
you don't have to call in the writer.
So try to write and direct your own damn script.
Right.
Starting out.
It's like patting your head, rubbing your tummy at the same time.
Now, we hear all kinds of crazy horror stories about struggles on the set. So what's the tug of war like between the writer, the director, and the producer when you're shooting a film? And how can it best be handled to create the most harmonious set possible? What do you
feel? I mean, I talk to people all the time about how to keep peace with the, you know, with everybody, crew and talent and everyone. And you do want peace. And there's always something or someone that's going sideways, because people always do. I mean, everybody, it's human, you know, we're going to cry, we're going to get upset, we're going to get our feelings hurt, we're going to, you know, stuff is going on. So, you know, I think for me, here's the thing, when you're a woman, and I'm not going to, you know, I hate bringing this up, but this is really serious. In this year, 2015, when we start saying things like only 6% of women in the entertainment business, and you know, we're talking about the whole entertainment business, are directors. 6%. And that's a real, you know, and that when you look at, like, the aggregate, it's like, you know, just even of, like, producers and writers, and it's like 16% are above the line. Directors, executive producers, writers, cinematographers, editors. 16% are women. You know what's going to happen on your set that's mostly men? You're going to climb over men to get to what you want, and that's exactly what's going to happen. And you have to have, you know, I'd say balls, but you know what? I think we're tougher with what we are equipment, because we take a bang, so, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, and then when a woman is assertive, what do the men call them?
Yeah.
Oh, she's such a bitch. But hey, if a man expresses himself, it's considered confidence. He's so confident, strong and confident.
You have to look at what's human, and it's human nature to think things like that. And to look at a woman and say, is she a crazy ass bitch, or is she in control?
Yeah.
And you really do earn respect even on your own set. And I at the beginning, it is like this, you know, not a war, but it is a little bit of a strife between you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're looking at you going, do you even know what you're doing, or what, you know? And they don't question a man, they question a woman. It's going to happen. It will happen to you. If you know, I'm going to talk to all the women out there, it will happen to you. You will suddenly face it. and you will rise up and you will do what has to be done, because you will say at the beginning of your set, I will do whatever it takes to protect this film. Exactly. And you will let people know, I will do whatever it takes to protect this film. So they will respect you in the end for doing that at all costs.
Absolutely.
And that's what I did.
Now,
so we ended on time and on budget, you know? It didn't just happen. You make it happen because you are the director. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Now this is your directorial debut of Mary Lost
yeah.
Soul. So this is a whole new hat, I would imagine, for you. So can you tell us first, tell us a little bit about this new film. What is Mary Lost of Soul about?
Well, okay, let me tell you about the story of Mary Lost Soul. It's about a young girl. She's 15 years old. And she goes missing for a short time on the lake of her family's like lake house. And when she returns, it's curious because nobody knows where she's been or what. And she can't remember a damn thing about what's happened to her. And it's given up very soon. You know, I've lost my soul. Okay, great. What is that like when you are still alive, but you claim you have lost your soul? So we go back a little bit and we find out what's going on with this girl and what happened to her. And then, well, how do you regain your soul? And what exactly happened to her along the way? So it's a supernatural suspense / thriller. And it definitely takes the audience on a journey that does not stop from the second she starts, in which she does start saying, I lost my soul. And we see her going through this beautiful, happy girl. And then suddenly she's little by little just losing part of herself, you know, more and more. So loss of soul is actually a real thing, believe it or not.
You're the screenwriter and director
yeah.
and producer on it? Or?
Yes.
So you're all
yes.
three. You're wearing all three hats. Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Wow. That's
yeah, you
another.
Know, it's becoming, you know, I always thought this was a strange thing. Like, goodness gracious. Or, like, why am I doing, like, how did I end up doing all of these things? Well, I think in filmmaking nowadays, it used to be more segregated. Like, the director was just a director, the writer was just a writer. But now with digital, it really has become more of the people wearing multiple hats, even acting in their own movies. I have friends who have done that, you know. I would never, no, I'm not, you will never see me acting. I just don't want to take on another role. But I did co-produce this as well. And it is like I had my hand in everything. I mean, when I was casting, even Jose Zuniga, we dealt with his agent and manager because a stellar actor. He did Con Air and Twilight and also, you know, just huge blockbuster movies. And just consummate, perfect, you know, actor. Kaylee Bryant, coming out of Disney, great actress, just, you know, and she auditioned for me. And the funny thing is that they're used to seeing casting directors and across the table is me, the director. And so I wouldn't tell anybody, but eventually somebody would say something to somebody and it would be like, as soon as they heard you were the director, everything changed.
Jennifer, what inspired you to write this film? And, you know, was there anything that happened to you? Or?
Well, you know what? I love stories that deal with things that have to deal with the spirit, the soul, things that have to do with dying, things that have to do with, I think because as humans, we're so just scared and you know, cautious about death in the, of itself. Just, you know, it's like nobody talks about it. In other cultures, people talk about it a lot. In our culture, mm-hmm. we don't deal with it a lot. So I love sort of supernatural because it allows you to deal with death, dying, reincarnation, all sorts of things that are kind of interesting. And then, but while you're doing it, you're dealing really with the stories about the human spirit. And that's what kind
and what's
of
great about
me.
writing,
like,
and what's what's great about writing a supernatural is people can die. They can, you can kill them off. They come back to life again. You can kill somebody like 5-6 times
and bring them back. It's all open.
Yeah, like one of my favorite shows is Supernatural. How many times have people died and come back on that show, right?
In the series Supernatural. Oh, my God. It's like crazy. But, so you know, here's the thing that I always tell people about.
I said that's a very good genre if you want to kill people off and bring them back. So try to write Supernatural.
Oh, my God. It's classic. You have to do that. Like, at least once, you know?
Exactly.
But here's the thing. It's like, whenever you're doing anything, you have to have whatever rules you set up. Let's say you have a ghost or whatever. And, you know, we have a lot of things in Mary Lost a Soul that are just, like, all supernatural things that are just, you never know what's going to happen next. But if you have something that's happening in your film or in your TV series or your book or whatever you're doing, if you set up a rule for supernatural, it doesn't even matter what you're doing. Just stick to the damn rule, as I say.
Right.
Because the thing that bothers audiences the most or when you're reading a book is when you say, well, wait a minute, the ghost could, you know, go through walls before, but now he can't. Or, you can come back, but only, like, how many times can you come back from the dead? Oh, there's a limit. Okay, I got it. As long as you set up the rules for whatever it is supernatural.
No,
that's fine.
Don't participate. Don't participate in overkill, no pun intended, right? Don't overkill.
Yeah, don't overkill. No.
We only have, can you believe it, Jennifer? Can you believe that I can't even believe it. 50 minutes goes by so fast. It's 5:46. We only have a couple minutes. I want to talk to you about, you also are a producer on a film called Body, which is premiering at Sundance this month. What's that film about? Tell us about
it. I know. I leave next week for Park City. It's crazy. Park City is like Slam Dance and Sundance happen together. It is crazy week. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's so exciting. But Body is a thriller. It's so interesting because it's about these three girls who break into a mansion and they inadvertently kill the groundskeeper. And then they slowly self-destruct as they decide what to do with the dead body that's in the living room. So it's very, it's way more interesting even in that sense. That's what I just said.
Did you write this as well, or are you just producer on this?
No, I'm not a writer. I'm just a producer. I'm not just a producer. I'm a producer on it.
You're a producer.
It's like a faster producer this time. I'm not wearing 50 million hats, but it's like, it's fabulous because I love these things, that these stories that you can tell. And this is very interesting because from a filmmaker's standpoint, to do a movie like this is what we call a one location shot. So whenever you pick up and move your cameras, it's technically another location, but it's in one, it takes place mostly in one place, a big mansion. It's beautiful. But, a lot of times these kinds of movies can be very suffocating, and they can make you feel like, oh Lord, when are they going to, you never, never feel like this in this movie. All you keep thinking to yourself is, that's a bad decision.
Right.
That's stupid. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And then you keep thinking, what would I do? What would I do? And that provokes all this just thinking through the whole movie, like wondering, until right-hand turn, and suddenly it's the end of the movie, just like the end of our conversation here. So
right.
It's a fabulous, fabulous, like, you know, movie, and I'm really thrilled to be on it. So,
well, let me ask you,
really
Jennifer,
looking forward to it.
Jennifer, I, by the way, I requested you as a friend on Facebook, and I happened to see your picture. I'm like, this woman is drop dead gorgeous. Do you?
I love you.
You're so pretty. Do you have a problem? And we got 1 minute, but being a gorgeous, attractive woman, do you have a problem with males, you know, as far as that?
Oh, I know the question. You know what? I am who I am. That's why, you know, Naked Hollywood is my Twitter handle. And it's a metaphor about being authentic. I am who I am. I'm always just who I am, no matter what. So I walk into a room and it's just like, you know what? I just take people for who they are and what they present to me, and that's you know what I present is authentic, and that's all I can be myself.
So for other women,
we can not all of us can be Meryl Streep, so we just have to be ourselves.
So your advice for other attractive women such as yourself who are pursuing a career as a producer, a director, a screenwriter, keep the wolves away? What do they have to do?
What would I say about keeping the wolves away? I would say, you know what? There's going to be wolves and there's going to be sly little foxes here and there. You know what? Go in, be confident, own who you are. You go around, we don't know, maybe once, maybe if you're in one of my novels or one of my, you know, movies, maybe a couple of times, who knows? But, you know, for all we know, just, you know, take hold of your own life and do it. It's like, this is it. You're above the ground for so long. You know, walk into a room, you know, enjoy yourself and be who you are, you know, be authentic. And if you're beautiful, that's great. If you're, you know, 20 pounds overweight, never mind. Who cares? You know,
who the hell cares?
Own it from beginning to end. Love it.
Well, Jennifer, yeah. I cannot believe it, but do you believe it? We are out of time.
I want to keep talking.
You come back on the show a little bit later on so we can talk about what happened to.
I would love to. Soul. Anytime. Have me on. I will have so many stories for you. It's like, I'm expecting to hook up with somebody at Park City that's like fabulous. So, who knows?
We didn't even get to talk about distribution. I have 27 questions. I'm like, we didn't talk about distribution. We didn't talk about this. We didn't talk about that. So I have to have you back.
I know.
Jennifer. All right. Well, everybody check out Jennifer's website. It's jenniferbwhite.com. Also, her latest movie, MaryLossOfSoul.com. And go over and follow her at Naked Hollywood. And I just...
Yeah, and Facebook is out there. Just Google me. I'll find you all over the place. Just make sure there's a B in, because I think there's somebody else that's like a porn star or something without the B in it. So it's Jennifer B. White.
I hate to tell you, but you're hot enough to be a porn star. I'm just throwing that out there.
I'm still coming back on your show now.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for being on the show. Please go to her website right now, follow her, support her, and go see MaryLossOfSoul.com.
You're the best.
You are too, my darling. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Say goodbye to your fans, Jennifer.
Oh, love you all so much. Really do. Really do. Kisses and hugs.
Kisses and hugs. We'll see you next week on Question Reality.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona right here on LA Talk Radio.